Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, the 103rd Psalm, and you'll find that on page 648 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading the first 12 verses of this 103rd Psalm. We'll read the verses responsively, and the text verse for this morning's message is the fifth verse, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12, page 648. Then let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And let's pray. And Father, you've given us a wonderful day, made so very wonderful and special because we have this comfortable place to meet. We have this purpose for meeting, that purpose to glorify Thee and to know better Thy Word and to better do Thy will. Meet with us, bless us, and strengthen us. Thank You for our church, for our friends here. Thank You especially for our preacher. Bless and use him and give us attentiveness to Thy precious word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Speaking this morning on the subject, the renewal of youth. The renewal of youth. My text verse, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He's not talking just about your physical body. He's talking about the renewal of your entire person, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The casual listener this morning will get not one thing from this sermon. The careful listener may well have his life changed. Whether or not you even understand the sermon depends upon your careful attention. I would invite you for your sake, not so I will have your attention, but so you will have a life-changing truth. I invite you and beseech you to listen very, very carefully. You're going to hear something most of you have never heard in your life. One of the great secrets to life, renewal of youth. I'll be 65 years of age, September 25th. In a month, less than a month from now, I'll be leading again for another year, after many years, a nationwide youth conference. I always have to get psyched up for it. But I do have a mind that's akin to youth. What I'm saying is I'm retarded. But I do have a mind that is akin to young people. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get that. By the renewing of your mind, ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a help this morning, and I believe I can, because I believe you're going to help me. And if you help me, certainly I can help these who listen. May it be so today, please. Amen. hold to every word that I speak. Dr. Myron Cederholm made the statement, not many men start at the first and go all the way to senior years straight and right. He was talking about preachers. He said, not many preachers, are you listening, sailors? Not many preachers start as young men, he was talking about in their 20s, and go all the way through and stay straight fundamentally, morally, integrity-wise, and so forth, until their old age. What he was saying was that many people waste their youth and use their maturity. On the other hand, many people use their youth and waste their maturity. I'll guarantee you that half the people in this room this morning live for God while you were young, and many of you will not live for God when you get older. I'll guarantee you that half the people in this room did not live for God while you were young, and you will live for God in your maturity. You see, in the Bible, David, for example, lived for God while he was young, did not live for God when he was old, when he was older. Abraham lived for God while he was young, did not live for God in his maturity. Solomon lived for God while he was young. He did not live for God in his maturity. King Saul lived for God while he was young. He did not live for God in his maturity. Jacob lived for God while he was young. He did not live for God in his maturity. Now listen, I'm going to tell you why. Don't miss this now. I'll tell you why. It seems that in life we have to try both. It seems for some reason in life we have to try both. A person that lives for God in the first half of his life comes to the mid-years of his life and he feels like he's missed something in life. So he wants to go back and regather that thing that he missed. And what happens? He wastes his mature years, but he served God in his youthful years. On the other hand, there are those who waste their youth and realize, as everybody does who spends their youth for the devil, that it does not bring what they thought it would bring. The devil's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a crook. He's a thief. And the devil says, enjoy yourself. Play your rock music. Go to your rock concerts. Go to your Hollywood movies. Go to your nightclubs. Take your dope. Drink your alcoholic beverages. Enjoy lewd lust and immorality. Enjoy it. Live it up. But every person that does that in his youth finds before his middle age it doesn't work. So many of you, if I had you raise your hand this morning, many of you would raise your hand and say, in my youth, I did not live for God, but I found out in my maturing years that I should turn to God and live for Him, and you've done that. But I say again, very few people start out as young people and live for God and stay clean and right and honest and decent all the way to their senior years. I don't know many preachers who started preaching in their 20s who stand straight on the fundamentals of the faith, on soul winning and church building all the way until they're 75, 80 years of age. It just hardly ever happens that way. Now, Dr. Elmer Towns made this statement, and I've quoted him on this often. Dr. Elmer Towns said that he doesn't know any, of many, if any, preachers who have continued to build churches after their 40th birthday. When I heard him say that, I said, that's not true. But the more I looked around the country, I found it is true. Very few preachers continue to build churches after their 40th birthday. Most of the church growth in America today, or in my generation years ago, most of the church growth in America is had by churches pastored by preachers under 40 years of age. Now, I'm going to tell you why it is. Now, follow me carefully. Don't miss it. I started as a young preacher. I was licensed at the age of 19. I was pastoring a fundamental church. I was pastoring a Baptist church at the age of 21. Now, I did not know how to build a church. Please don't miss this. I did not know how to build a church. So I begged God, dear God, please help me to build a church. I beg you, help me build a church. I didn't know how. I'd never been to a church growth seminar. Most of them conducted by fellows never grew a church. It's an amazing thing to me. Most of your church growth seminars are conducted by fellows never built a church. Most of your folks training preachers in colleges are professors who've never done it. And it's very popular these days to teach how to rear children if you're not even married. And but anyway, I never went to a church growth seminar. I didn't go to anybody and find out how to build a church. I was a kid preacher. I was 21 years of age. Hey, my church caught fire. I didn't know how to do it. And while it was going on, I didn't know how I was doing it. And all of a sudden, we, meaning God and I, he needed my help, I needed his, we built a great church. We built a church that had more people saved than anybody in our part of the neck of the woods. To this day, there are 40 pastors and missionaries around the world that came from my little country church there, the first little full-time church I had. We built a church. Now, follow me carefully. Here's the sermon. I said, I don't know what I did, but I must have done something right. Are you listening to me? I don't know what I did, but I must have done something right. So I said, I must study myself and find out how I did it, so I can do it again. You see, God blesses ignorance if you have no choice. But God does not bless unnecessary ignorance. God will help you build a church the first time around, even if you don't know how to do it. But he won't help you the second time around. So what did I do? Are you listening? This is great to me. I wish you liked it. What did I do? I didn't know how to build a church. I begged God to help me build a church. God did help me build a church. I did not know what I was doing right. But when I got through, I looked back and studied myself to find out what I did that caused the church to grow so I could do it again. I didn't study those who never did it. I'll say it again. I never studied how those did it who never did it. That's a pretty good statement. I wish you'd have heard it. I never studied how those did it who never did it. But I had done it. One of the great secrets of life is being able to analyze yourself. So I look back. Okay, here I am, a kid preacher. Let me have this microphone right here, please. Right here. I look back. I was a kid preacher, and I was facing my ministry. And I said, I don't know how to do it. I've got a church here. I want to build a church. I don't know how to do it. Oh, God, I pray you'd help me to know how to build this church. I want to build a church. And by the grace of God, he did help me to build a church, but I didn't know why. I didn't know church building methods. I didn't know church building procedures. I didn't know why. And all of a sudden, folks started coming from all over the county to hear me preach. We had people who lived 80 miles from each other. And back in those days, you didn't have fast cars and good roads. We had folks who lived 80 miles from each other, came to our little country church. And that place was a beehive of activity. And so all of a sudden, we had a church built there. But I didn't know why I did it. So I went to my second great church I pastored. Was the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. I went there. Now I said, I've got to know how to build a church here. How do you do it? I don't know how to do it. But I did it back yonder at the Grange Hall Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas. So I went back here to Grange Hall Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas, and I studied myself. See? I studied myself. When you do something right, study to figure out how you did it. I preached a sermon here on a Sunday morning one time, and I told you. I said, if you have a good day, at the end of the day, write down what you did and have another one sometime. See, if you'll analyze what you did, if you have a bad day, when you get at the end of the day, write down what you did. Don't have another bad one. Find out the recipe of a bad day and avoid it, which means don't go home. You heard about the fella who's had a list of things to do today. 1, get organized. 2, talk to wife. 3, get reorganized. And that was really funny. If you'd have heard it, you might have enjoyed it. But what I'm saying is this. I faced my second opportunity to build a great church. What did I do? I did not know what I did the first time.
But after I had done it the first time, I decided to go back and find how I did it the first time so I could do it again. So I used those same methods again and again and again. Many times, hear me now, many times with my mature mind, I have thought about tinkering with myself. In my mature mind, and I do have a mature mind, it never shows, but I have a mature mind, and yours doesn't either, but I have a mature mind. And so I say to myself, look, I'm still acting like a kid. I get up there in the pulpit and tell a corny story, and I act like a kid. I get up there and make a fool of myself, and it's about time I became a reverend. And so I'm 64 years of age, almost 65, and it's about time I matured a little bit, and I became a godly saint of the faith, a patriarch of the faith. And I lay down here at Vacation Bible School on the floor, kick my feet up in the air, and scream with the kids and holler, and I go back to my office and said, look, you're too old to do that. So I roll myself to the operating table, and I get out the knife and I cut myself open to figure out what I can take out so I can be a mature preacher. And I look in there and I say, I don't know what to take out. Because the thing I take out may be the reason I've been successful as a preacher. So I just sew myself back up, leave all that stuff in there, and stay like I've always been. I started off hollering, I think I'll just end up hollering. I started off screaming, I think I'll end up screaming. I started off throwing a fit about sin, I think I'll end up throwing a fit about sin. I started off believing this book was the Word of God, I think I'll just end up believing this book is the Word of God. So what am I saying? I'm saying that as a mature person, my mature mind says, I ought to change. Wait a minute. But you say, Brother Hiles, isn't your mature mind more capable of knowing what you ought to be than your youthful mind? I'm sorry. Sorry you asked that because showed Hagnachar. I didn't use my youthful mind when I was a boy. I used his mind. Remember, I didn't know how to build a church. Remember, I begged God to help me. And I used God's mind because mine wasn't worth using. I'd suggest you use God's too, by the way. But I used God's mind because my mind was not worth using. And so I can improve on God's mind. Bear in mind, I didn't know how to build a church. Hey, I was pastoring a full-time church before I was a sophomore in college. I mean, I was a sophomore in college when I was pastoring a full-time church. And my first year in college had been to a state university. Within 6 weeks after I went to a Christian school, I was pastoring a church. I didn't know how to do it. I was pastoring a great percentage of the students in the college I went to while I was in college. The vice president of our college came out one Sunday night to hear me preach, and I was preaching on Deborah. I called her Deborah, the whole thing. Preach on Deborah. I'm saying, I did not know. But thank God, since I did not know, I asked him who does know to help me. And he who does know helped me, and God used us to build a great church. Now what I've got to do is not study somebody who's never done it. I study myself. I study to find out how I did it in the past. So, my late ministry, hear me now, is modeled after my early ministry. After whom have I modeled my ministry? The young Jack Hiles. Because the young Jack Hiles didn't know how to do it, and he threw himself at the mercy of God and did it. And as the older Jack Hiles, I look back to see how I did it as a younger Jack Hiles, because I was not able to do it myself. I let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus, and I learned how I did it so I could do it again, so the 64-year-old Jack Hiles is a replica of the 24-year-old Jack Hiles. Boy, that's good. Summary. Not conclusion. Summary. Life begins not knowing how to do it. Number two, your first success is when you don't know how to do it. Number three, your second success is when you figure out how you did it when you didn't know how to do it. Let me say it again. Your first success was when you did not know how to do it. I don't care what you did. And your second success was when you, life begins not knowing how to do it. Your first success is when you do it not knowing how to do it. And your second success is when you've got enough sense to analyze the first success. Now listen, don't play the fool like most middle-aged people do. And try to improve on what God did with you when you yielded yourself to Him. Do you have a happy marriage? Then stay away from marriage seminars. That's the best thing you'll ever hear in your life about marriage. If you got something going, don't tinker with it. Have a happy marriage? Okay, figure out what made it happy and have it some more. Hey, listen to me. Was your first year of marriage happy? Oh, but you say, we want to mature in our marriage. If your first year of marriage was happy, then you're an expert in how to have a happy marriage. The only thing about it, you don't know how you did it. So study how you did it and have another happy year of marriage. You don't have to go to people not married to find out how to have a happy marriage. I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm talking about we're stupid. Hey, the best marriage for you to model is yours if it's happy. Do you have a great church? Then stay away from church building seminars. Stay away from church growth seminars. Hey, I know preachers all over America who as young men on fire for God, brother, this old book is true. You can lock it or up it. Bless God, I won't let you have it. That's the kind of guy builds the church. But he gets a church, he builds a church, and doesn't realize you stay successful the way you got successful. So he begins to go to MacArthur's pastor's meeting out there in California. Learns how to have cell block. Well, that's in jail for us. I'm concerned. I don't want to go to cell block. But learns the new method. Don't need the new method. If the old methods are working, keep on using them. Boy, this is good. I'm saying if you have a great church, then copy yourself. Let me say it again. The first time you do something, asking God to help you, you can't do it. God has to do it. Let me put it this way. I got on my knees as a kid preacher. And I said, dear God, I can't do it by myself. You've got to help me. I don't know how to build a church. I have one session of summer school, one half session of summer school, all I have. And I'm pastor of a church. You got to help me. I don't know how. And God did help me and built a great country church there in East Texas. All right? So I go to Miller Road Baptist Church and I say, okay, I want to build a great church. How did I do it before? You listen to me? Well, how did I do it before? I got on my knees and I said, dear God, this is the way I did it before. I did it by asking you to help me. Now you help me and I'll learn all I have done, all I can from me, which makes me my teacher. I have learned from me when I couldn't do it. God told me how to do it. So God taught me to do it the first time. I taught myself the second time. But I taught myself the same thing, you know, the same thing God taught me. So if you have a great church, copy yourself. You have a successful business. Don't tinker with it. You don't have to go find out somebody's seminar how to have a successful business because you already have one. So continue doing what you were doing and do again what brought you success. Hey, most of us do not know ourselves. The Bible says, know thyself. Most of us do not know ourselves. Listen, God will let you stumble through the first time, but God won't let you stumble through the second time. God will let you be successful by your, but you'll be amazed what I did at my first ministry, first churches. But God will not let you the second time. He won't bless your ignorance the second time. So whatever endeavor you have in life, whatever success you've had in life, Look back and find out how you did it. Quit going to some guy who makes his living telling you how to do it who's never done it. I know a man right now traveling this whole country having church growth seminars, written books on church growth, considered by many people the church growth expert in America. The fellow never built a nursery. Knows nothing about building a church. Never built a church. All he's done is watch people who built churches and tried to tell people what he's learned from them. The truth is, brother, if you're going to teach me how to build it, build one yourself and tell me how you did it. But there's one thing I can say. If you've been successful in your business, study yourself. Russell Anderson came to me. For those who don't know Russell Anderson, he's a wealthy businessman. He has the one thing that I appreciate about a friend. The one quality I love in friendship more than anything else. Money. And Russell Anderson came to me, multimillionaire, came to me in his 40s. And he said, Dr. Tiles, I'm thinking about retiring. He said, I've got enough money. I could live comfortably or even luxuriously the rest of my life. I'm thinking about retiring. What do you think? I said, I think you're making a foolish mistake. He said, why? I said, Russell, are you happy? He said, extremely happy. I said, okay, if you're happy, don't change anything. Look back in your life and find out what you've been doing so you can continue it. I said, Russell, you stay happy the same way you got happy. You stay successful the same way you got successful. Now look back and study your life up until now and build it in the future like you built in the past. I'm so sick and tired of these success books. I don't know what to do. Wouldn't give you a dime for all of them. Oh, I'm talking about Christian writers, heathen writers, all of them. In the first place, most of them only interested in making money. That's not the way to be happy in life. That's not the way to be a success in life. The best way in the world to be a success in life, if you've been a success in life, is find, study yourself and find how you were a success in life so you can keep on being a success in life. By the way, same thing's true of the bus route, Sunday school class, anything else. Have you built a good bus route? Okay, then study how you did it and do it again. Have you built a good Sunday school class? Good. Study how you did it and do it again. Have you built a happy marriage? Good. Study how you did it and do it again. Don't get married again, but I'm glad a few of you are listening. And but do it again. If you built a good church, okay. Then study how you did it and do it again. Hey, that's what the word revival means. The word revival means get back the life you had. That's what John meant in Revelation 2:4 when he said you've left your first love. He's talking about you've left the love you had when you first started. And that's what he meant when he said in verse 5, Revelation 2:5, repent and do thy first works. He's saying do the works you did when you started. That's what the Bible's talking about. That's what it means when the prophet said return to the old paths. Get back where you were. Listen to me. I'm a happy man. Now, I didn't get happy because I didn't have any enemies. So I'm not unhappy because I do. I'm sorry to make you enemies. I'm sorry to disappoint you, enemies of mine. But you're not going to make me unhappy. Because your absence didn't make me happy. So your presence won't make me unhappy. See? You can't get to my happiness. You can't get to my joy. Nothing you can do to get to it. Because I'm saved, you can't unsave me. I'm going to heaven, you can't unheaven me. I'm a child of God and you can't unborn me. I have the Holy Spirit living in here and you can't unholy spirit me. I'm saying the honest truth is I've lived for 64 years and 9 months and several days. I have lived a happy, victorious, and successful life. And brother, I'm not going to go to a bunch of success seminars and find out how to do it from here on in. I'm going to look back and find out how I did it from here on back. I'm going to do what I did from here on back. I'm going to do it from here on in. I'm not going to stop altar calls. We built churches with altar calls. I'm not going to stop invitations. We built churches with invitations. I'm not going to start saying, if you want to get saved, meet me in room 405 down the hallway after the service. No, sir, I'm going to say, if you want to get saved, meet me on your knees at the altar. That's the way it's been built, and that's the way I intend to keep on building it. Oh, what a happy life you could live if you would stop and realize that if you have a happy life, you're the expert on happy living. Figure out what you've done. Once a year, First Baptist Church of Hammond, we have a pastor's school. Pastors come from all of America. You know what I teach them? Listen carefully, I'll close. I analyze my ministry and teach it to those young preachers. That's what it is. But the truth is, most of us, something good happens to us, we never stop to wonder what made it. I said a while ago, if you come to the end of some day, sometime, and you say, boy, what a great day this was. Well, sit down and write down what you did and make another one someday. If you had a miserable day, sit down and find out why and divorce him. I'm saying the secret to life is when you find an answer, analyze what the answer is and put it in progress, operation again. And you can do tomorrow what you did yesterday if what you did yesterday was successful. If what you did yesterday failed, don't analyze failure. Analyze your success. I said a while ago, I'm 64, almost 65. I've lived my life, and I've lived it on purpose. I have an uh-oh'd through life. Or, well, I'll declare, through life. I've on-purposed through life. I've on-purposed through life. At the age of 64, almost 65, if God gives me 5 more years, if God gives me 10, if God gives me 15, I found some things. Now, wait a minute. All most of us have found is that we made it and it succeeded. But most of us have never stopped to go back and find out the formula that got us where we are. Analyze yourself. Find out what you were when you succeeded. And don't change yourself. Now, wait a minute. You say, Brother, how shouldn't I grow in grace? Yeah, in grace, but not in methods. Bible never says grow in methods. I preached old-time religion 43 years ago. Preach it now. Hollered and screamed while I preached 43 years ago. Hollered and screamed while I preach now. Beat the pulpit 43 years ago. My pulpit's all beat up right here right now. No, don't prove on methods. The methods are outlined in the book and in your own experience of success. Now, improving your prayer life, improving your Bible study, improving your soul winning, but don't improve on how you did it, if, as a fact, you did it and it was a success. I'll guarantee you this. I've told you this morning something that'll transform your life. That won't, because you won't do it. Oh, 2 or 3 of you will. But it could transform your life. If you'd stop reading how some guy that made $1 million. You don't know if you make $1 million, that'll make you happy. But if you are happy, quit studying him and study you. And find out what got you where you are. It'll get you also where you're going. Of course, all of this is invalid unless you know the Savior. Bear in mind the first time through what I said, you've got to help me. Now, if the first time through you weren't saved, then don't study yourself. First thing you got to do, he helps you when you don't know what to do. If you want to know what to do, he helps you. But you've got to know him. And the way you know him is by faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted him. You don't know you're going to heaven when you die. We're going to stand and sing in just a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat, come toward the aisle, down the altar, and say yes to Christ. Then You've got Psalm 1 as a promise. Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Come to Christ. If you've not been saved, walk down these aisles, and we'll show you how you can go to heaven when you die. If you're saved, have not been baptized since you got saved, walk down these aisles and we'll help you get baptized this morning. If you want to make this your church home and you're saved, there's a way you can. We invite you to come. Shall we stand, please? The choir's going to sing. Would you leave your seat? Anybody who leaves the service during the invitation shows a lack of concern for the souls of men. I wouldn't give you that much for their Christianity. So you stay during the invitation time. And let's watch the folks as they come and say yes to Christ. Leave your seat. Come on right now.